Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
Today I ask you to appeal. Whatever you're facing, appeal to the highest court in the cosmos, the throne of grace. Raise the standard high and say, God, you see the way that I take. As Isaiah said, all the people of the world, everyone who lives on the earth, when I raise my battle flag on the mountain, look. And when I blow the ram's horn, listen. The banner, the ensign, the standard, the signal, the flag. That was the method of communication on the battlefield or in the high seas. It's how they indicated it was time to go to war, how they revealed it was time to retreat. It's how we say it's time to join forces. In those days of yesteryear, the flag indicated which side you were on. Today, it's the same. Whose side are you on? This is a season of clarification. Under which flag, under which banner do you encamp? Each of the four tribes to the corners of the tabernacle had their own flag, thought to be the four faces of the cherubim. The lion was the tribe of Judah, ox the tribe of Ephraim, eagle the tribe of Asher, and man the tribe of Reuben. Under whose banner will you camp? Which tribe will you identify with? Today, the fair weather soldiers collapse by the millions. Today, a moment when that mixed multitude that hung around for the free stuff are longing for Egypt rather than promised land. Today, it's a moment when wannabes are becoming used to bees. And today, it's a time when would-be believers find themselves allergic to the hardship and the discipleship of the cross. Today, when hunkering down is more appealing than lifting a standard. Today, there's a distinction being made that it's time to decide whose side are you on, under which banner do you encamp. There are two themes in the book of Isaiah, really only two, both run throughout the entire book. First is the doctrine of the remnant, and the second is the coming king or kingdom. The hope of the second lies in the first, that there will always be a faithful remnant of God's believers who say, we choose to camp under the Lord's banner. We will cry unto God. In some way down through time, God has said, I will use the small minority. I don't need the majority, just need a remnant, a small group of people to gather under my banner of righteousness. Isaiah did say from the outset that there is a remnant of faithful warriors, faithful intercessors, a remnant of weak but conscientious people crying out to God. In the very opening chapter, the prophet said it, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. This theme of clarification, had we not had a remnant, we would have been judged like those cities of the plain. The answer is not in the majority. The answer is in the minority that's on the Lord's side. You not only find it there in the opening chapter of Isaiah, but in Isaiah 11, 37, and 46, faithful bands of followers, rejecting the majority opinion of the world, rejecting the status quo of the carnal, and saying, we choose God. Even in Romans 9, Paul quotes Isaiah and says, though Israel may number as the sands of the sea, there will be a remnant saved. No, Gideon, I don't need those 22,000 faint-hearted soldiers. Let them go home. No, Gideon, I don't need those 10,000 self-centered soldiers. You can let them go too. All I need is a remnant of 300. And watch what I can do with those who are sold out to me. There were 12 tribes in Israel. 10 were carried away into judgment and annihilated. 2 were left. And those 2 were carried into captivity and a small remnant returned. Just a group. But from that group emerged a resurgence of faith. It is a time of clarification. Hear what Jesus asked at the close of his ministry in Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? It's clarification time. Will I be in that faithful remnant? Or will we be a part of a faithless generation? I think it's time to know. It's time to become. It's time to declare ourselves. This is a moment of truth. This is the crux of the matter. We're at a tipping point. We will either be on the Lord's side and stand for truth, which has always been hated by this world, or we will join the enemy's side and join with what's popular for a moment. So whose side are you on? If you're on the Lord's side, if you're in the righteous remnant, then I promise you, you will see and you will hear the glory of God in the land of the living. My name is Ken Gurley, and all this week on Daily Devotion, we're going to be talking about how to open the gates of heaven. I asked you at the outset, now will you appeal to the highest court of the cosmos and recognize God is in control. Some will see, some will hear. God said, when the battle flag unfurls on the mountain, when the sound of the shofar reverberates in the atmosphere, you will see and hear, and you will perceive that this is the moment, this is the time, this is the season. I don't fault people who struggle to discern where we are on God's clock. We find ourselves in changing seasons, shifting tides, ongoing upheavals in the spiritual, physical realms. Yet I believe it should be becoming clear to each and every one of us that we've never passed this way before. When Israel exited Egypt, there were two examples of plagues, one in the wilderness, one in the promised land. When the plague hit Israel in the wilderness, Aaron took his censer, filled it with red-hot coals, poured incense on it, and erased between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. When the plague swept through Israel later during David's reign, David built an altar on top of Ornan's threshing floor, and there he built this fire, and he sacrificed to God. It seems like the answer to plague is fire, to lift up our censers and offer up sacrifices of praise. I'm not talking to America. I'm not talking to drought or plague-stricken areas. I'm not even speaking to the entire world. I'm addressing believers. I'm not speaking to uncaring, unseeing, unhearing believers. I'm talking to those who are blinded momentarily. I'm reaching for those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit is saying it's time to understand and to clarify and perceive our role. That we can either let the fires of judgment sweep across this earth, or we can raise the standard high. We can hear the sound of the ram's horn, and we can cry out to God. And don't you know heaven is waiting on our cry? Joel lived in a day of rampant corruption, open sin, compromise. It gripped a tremendous portion of the people of God. It has started at the top and winded its way through the body. You read the opening two chapters of Joel and you will read the remedy. Preceding the outpour of the Spirit, Joel said, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, sanctify the congregation. Where the body of the people is deprived of their right, John Locke said, and when they have no appeal on earth, then they have a liberty to appeal to heaven. We, children of God, love Joel chapter 2. Simon Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost when the prophecy began to be fulfilled, that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and my maid servants. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. But that's where we normally stop. We come to a screeching halt. But if you read on a moment in Joel, the second chapter, God says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And listen to this verse, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That deliverance is coming, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Yes, God has and will pour out his Spirit in these last days. There will be tremendous upheavals, but God has called a remnant, a select group of people, the very tip of the spear, to cry out and to call on him. They will make their appeal to heaven. When there's no court on earth to render justice, when they're up against the wall and can find no one to listen, when good is silenced and evil is trumpeted, we take our appeal to the judge of all the earth. We go into heaven's court before the throne of grace. It was when the revolution took place in America, George Washington commissioned 6 ships. This was the Navy that would go up against the most powerful Navy of the world. Each vessel would fly a certain flag, not the stars and stripes. No, it would be an evergreen tree on a white background with the words, "Appeal to Heaven." I so appreciate a resurgence of this flag that I've seen elsewhere. I've seen it here and there. You see, I think it's striking the right tone. It's rooted in a phrase that was used by John Locke. For those of you who know your history, Locke's writings form so much of the basis of this nation. He wrote, "And where the body of the people, or any single man, is deprived of their right or is under the exercise of a power without right, and they have no appeal on earth, then they have the liberty to appeal to heaven." I like that phrase, the liberty to appeal to heaven. For John Locke, that phrase did not mean prayer. For him, it meant war. The specific example he used is when Jephthah led Israel against Ammon. Now ask God to decide who is right, who is wrong, and appeal to heaven. Where do we fit into this equation? For us, for the remnant. This appeal to heaven means intercession, to cry out to God, to lift our voices to be heard. We have been through plagues, we've been through fires, we've been through upheavals. We've been through immense times of peril in this world. Either we choose the fire of intercession or we will see the fire of insurrection. Which fire do you choose? I believe that God is waiting on his people. Yes, I said that. I believe God is waiting on his people to cry out. What are we waiting for? Maybe in the past you felt moved to prayer. Maybe you felt that you need to take your appeal to heaven. But then the fires cooled a little, 1 degree at a time. We got distracted. We moved here. We moved there. And that desire and that strong sense of urgency to appeal to heaven faded from view. Maybe you didn't call out to God in times past. Maybe you didn't cry out to heaven when you saw this riot and this situation. Maybe you didn't cry out when you lost your job. Maybe you didn't call on God when people drifted away. Maybe even now, in friction and division, you hesitate. Why not now? Why not call out to God? In fact, why not cry out as never before? Why not wave that banner toward heaven and say, "Lord, I can't find justice. I can't find answers on earth. So I am making a direct appeal to the throne of grace. I'm appealing to heaven." He awaits your cry. God is waiting on us.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed, 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.